hours, Joni and Mike plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the first installment of Each of Valley Paranormal Spirit Talk. I'm Jenny, and I have my co-host, Mike. And the show is actually named after Each of Valley Paranormal, in case, because a couple people have asked if it's all about EVPs. It's not. We just actually named it after our investigation group. So that's where the name came from. So, okay, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Cold, rainy.
Yeah, I know.
It could be worse. It could be cold and snowy.
Yeah, well, it might do that, too, but... we've got Bishop James Long tonight, so we should have a pretty good show going here in a minute. I do want to thank some people for helping us get back on the air. Well, first of all, I want to thank Greg Cable, who was our old producer when we used to be Midwest Paratalk Radio. And he taught us a lot, helped us along, and I would like to wish him well in his new ventures. So thank you, Greg, and hope you're doing well. I want to thank Crystal because she pulled us together in less than a week and got things going again. And she's very organized. So she's been a lot of help, and I really want to thank her. And, of course, I want to thank our new producer, Mike Morris, of Miami Town Ghost Tours. And he's done a lot for us, too. He's done our intro and our outro and our banners and everything. So I need to thank him.
Yes, which are very awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, he's done a good job. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... I don't know, the health care bill passed, and I don't think people are very happy. How do they feel about it down at the hospital?
They are infuriated. Infuriated.
I think
people don't understand what it's all about. They just think it's health care, and everybody's going to get health care. They don't understand what it's going to do to the cost of health care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but of course, being in the health care business, we know that Medicare and all those entities are going to take full advantage of it, that's for sure. So, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. We've got a few years where it all really takes place.
Yeah, right. It's going to phase in some of it, but that's part of the problem, I think, was in the first place, was entities taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government entities, Medicare and Medicaid, they overbilled when they shouldn't have. And I know even our hospital in town here got in trouble a couple of years ago for that. Because, you know, then they go through and audit them, and they got to pay fines and stuff. And it was just done by a lot of facilities and and doctors,
well,
too.
Right now, the big thing is the RAC. It's outside auditors coming in and reviewing all the Medicare charts for Medicare itself. And then, actually, ours just started... They request up to 1,500 charts a year over the past 3 years. And if you do overbilled, you got to pay that back. And so, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I figured that came on the heels of this health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knew something was going to pass, so they need to make their money up somehow. So we have our...
They're
shaking in their boots right now. The hospital that... our CEO came from, he got blasted for $15 million in back payment. He had to pay $15 million in one lump sum. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
And unfortunately,
it's just a
bad
thing.
I work in.
Yeah, and, you know, people need the insurance, and it's just a shame. And I don't know, they're going to have to tweak it at the least. It's just, and the country's so divided over it, and they said that on the news that... some of the people that voted for it were getting, like, their headquarters windows shot out and vicious emails and hate letters and all this stuff, which we didn't need anything like that right now.
14 states are trying to block the passage of it, I guess.
I don't know if Ohio's one of them or not.
They are going to join, I guess. They're coming under pressure because actually the two representatives from this part of the valley and the representative from West Virginia from this part of the valley were in the final deal breakers, and only one of them didn't pass it. And so he's coming under fire from unions that didn't, because they wanted him to pass it, and then the two that did pass it are coming under fire because they didn't want to pass. So a little bit of unrest. A little unrest. But anyway, I had an interesting experience today at work.
What was that?
I was going to lunch with one of my friends, and they called a code to the CVICU. And they pretty much exactly the same. Remember the last time we talked about this, a lady that was, she was full code, and there was a gentleman and his wife came out and said, he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And he came right back. This time it was a lady, and she was completely coded for like 15, 20 minutes. They were going to start taking all the equipment off of her, and she shot straight up in bed.
No kidding.
Like there was nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she's disoriented, and for one, I'm assuming disoriented, what the nurse said, but she knew where she was, she knew what day it was, and she had been, you know, she had the surgery 3 days ago for open heart surgery, so, you know, they pretty much they're on life support right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she knew what day it was. I mean, she knew the date, not it was Thursday. She knew the date, and that's, I guess it's pretty much unheard of because her surgery was Monday, so she had been on life support since Monday, pretty much out of it, and you had thought she would have said it was Monday. But she knew it was Thursday, March 25th or whatever day it is today. I don't even know what date it is. So,
I don't know. We were always told in training and even like when we went to work from the older people that worked there where the people had seniority that to always watch what you say even if you think they're in vegetative state because they can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know about that. I know I've found that to be true at least a couple times. So we you watch what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when they're...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Are you there? I was going to say, it's going to be an interesting show tonight, because number one, this is... I'm in my world religion class right now, so this might help me with my paper. I got to write this weekend, on Catholicism, and then I also work at a Catholic hospital, so...
Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
Yes, so this is going to be pretty interesting.
Down there, do they do tubal ligations? It used to be they didn't. Do they now?
No, they don't. Only after, like, they have to have three children, I think, they can't, and they will not do abortions.
Oh, I figured that.
I mean, even if it's medically necessary, they will not. They will shoot them off somewhere else first. They should off to, I think, Pittsburgh prison.
Yeah, is that McGee's Women's and Children's up in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. Which I don't understand if it's medically necessary, you know what I mean? If it's not, I mean, I can see if it's not for basically birth control, but if it's medically necessary, then they should have to do it, but they won't. They'll life flight them out. So.
Right, because they have the right not to do anything unless it's life-threatening, really.
Right.
I mean, that's just hospitals in general, so...
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered about that because I know a couple of people 30 years ago tried to have that done down there and they refused them.
They will do it.
And I suppose that's why.
A certain amount of children of them, they have to have had a certain amount of children in a certain age. But you know what's really weird is they will deliver babies, they will deliver women that aren't married. So
they what?
They will deliver women that are single. Single mothers.
Really? So,
yes,
they
will.
Wow.
It's kind of a contradiction in terms, I guess. So.
Yeah, it is.
And they do offer what's the word I'm looking for? Birth control. What's the word the Catholics use?
I don't know. Mike, do you know what that is? I think Mike's Catholic.
Family planning. That's what they use.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's kind of a generic word, though.
Yeah, they have courses on family planning now, which is weird in religion.
Yeah, I got to try and keep up. The world's changed so much.
Yes, it has. It has.
It really has. So. Okay, well, Mike, do you want to go for a break and do a couple commercials, or what do you want to do?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, we're, that's good. I was thinking about that today. Okay, we've got Mike and we've got Mike. Now, what? How are we going to do this? There could be like Mike and
like
Mikey,
I'll do
Mike. Mike and Michael.
I'll do the Michael thing.
Could you do the Michael thing?
Yeah.
Okay, you could be Michael. You could be Michael for one night a week. Okay.
Yeah, commercial time, and then get Bishop Long on.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds fine.
All right.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
Tune in to Studio B every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Miami Town Ghost Talk. Hosts Mike and Jeff, authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, plan to delve into the subject of ghosts, UFOs, and cryptozoology, talking to investigators, authors, and so much more on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and had paranormal experiences? Do you think your story is good enough to be told in a book? Do you have pictures that you think you have caught spirits in? If so, contact me, Crystal, at CHRISTEL at NKYPS.com. Your story just might be published in a book.
Are you hearing bumps in the night? We'll help you find the answers you desperately need. Get your paranormal radio fix for the week. Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill. Every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's each and every Monday night at 9 Eastern in Studio A. Only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, and we're back with Bishop James Long. Welcome. We're glad you can make it because I know you're really, really busy.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for the invitation. I appreciate that.
No, not a problem at all. I'm glad you, you have so many things going on, and I was trying to figure out what we wanted to talk about because there's so many different ways we could go. Well, first of all, is there anything that you have coming up that you wanted to talk about? I mean, as far as your classes or anything like that?
You know what? I'm probably going to get in trouble because there are a couple conferences that are coming up. And, oh, dear God, my schedule is so crazy. But one of them, there's like one in May, I believe. another in June. I'll have it up, all the information up there on the Paranormal Clergy website. But it's a couple conferences that we're doing that I really want to plug. And the reason is I want to plug it is because one of them is, I think there's a group called Rope, and I'll have to find it on break or something. But I really want people to support this conference because there's a little girl named Caitlin, and she has leukemia. And so the tickets are only $6 for this event, and $2.50 of every ticket is going to her. The other $2.50 is actually going to another foundation to help battered women, and then the dollar is going to the JC's foundation because they're actually donating the building. So 100% of the proceeds is actually going to helping other organizations that help other people.
No, that's wonderful.
And I really love doing conferences like that. That, to me, it just excites me. I put 100% of my energy into it because, to me, that is far better, in my opinion, than doing conferences that are huge and about profit. And I'm not really into that kind of stuff.
Wow. There's a lot of that going on, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. All right.
There's a lot of that kind of thing going on.
There's a lot of conferences going on. Yes, yeah, there are. But I'm really, really impressed with this conference, and I'm so excited about it. I'm really honored that they asked me to be a part of it. So I'm glad you asked, and I will pull up some more information. I just don't want to give the wrong information about it, so I'll find some information on that.
Okay, great. Is that around? You live in Louisville, Kentucky. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's in Ohio.
In Ohio.
But I'm in Louisville. So that's where I'm located.
Yeah, I live in Ohio. Yeah, you'll have to let me know.
Yeah, I promise you, as a matter of fact, while we're speaking, I'm going to pull up this flyer because it's going to drive me crazy because I just think that these type of conferences, they're very special. And this little girl who has leukemia, I just when you do shows like this and you help somebody out, it really makes life – makes it worthwhile.
Purposeful, maybe, yeah.
It's not about the profit and conferences anyway. I mean, speakers, there's just not a whole lot of profit anyway in conferences at all. And so if I'm going to spend time and effort in conferences, I'd rather do something to help people rather than sign autographs and that kind of nonsense.
Right.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from for sure.
Right.
For sure.
So sometimes it's better to use your celebrity and for something good rather than just for fluff, basically. So
you know, it's still fascinating to me about when people still come up to me and they ask me if I'll sign something, I'm a priest.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just a priest. I'm a bishop, but before anything else, I'm just a priest. That's it. You know, so
well,
it's just like, wow.
I guess, but I guess it, in a good way, though, it means you're making an impact, you know, in somebody's life.
Yeah. You
look at it that way.
Okay, I was doing research on your church. I noticed you're a fairly progressive church, and actually, in pretty much all religion, your beliefs, I know you still believe in the Nicene Creed and all that, but I mean, you know, you guys are really accepting for alternative lifestyles, and you know, you seem to be really really, really devoted towards making sure everyone feels welcome. Now, do you feel sometimes other denominations may look weird upon that, or is, you know, I'm sure you don't care, but
honestly, and by the way, I did find the information. It's a Paranormal Awareness Charity Event, and that's what it's called, Paranormal Awareness Charity Event, and it's actually going to be taking place let's see, it's 11 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's interesting, I'm trying to find it, May the 15th, and of course, again, $250 goes, half of it goes to Southern Ohio Domestic Violence Shelter. I mean, hello. And then, of course, the other 250 goes to Caitlin Woodard. She has leukemia. She's a little girl who has leukemia. And, of course, okay. The dollar goes to the Portsmouth area JCs. So it's a PACE charity event, Paranormal Awareness Charity Event. Back to the question, you know, honestly, here's the deal. I have found that those individuals who are those church organizations who are not welcoming, who are too busy judging and condemning, are far too busy putting man's ego ahead of Christianity. Because Christianity right. doesn't teach that. Christianity right. does not teach judging others. Christianity does not teach condemning others. It doesn't at all. As a matter of fact, it's quite clear in Scripture that Christ condemned people condemning others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's just life is so much easier when you treat people with love and compassion and stop judging. Who am I, a sinner, a priest? Who am I to deny anybody Christ?
Mm-hmm.
I have no right to deny anybody Christ. If they wish to receive communion and they're a baptized believer and they don't wish to desecrate the host, of course, and they believe in what we believe, of course, is transubstantiation, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and they wish to receive communion, who am I, a sinner, to deny anybody, to stand in between them and Christ? Get out of the way. You know, that's not my job to be the gatekeeper, and that's very Gnostic. I have all the power and all the control of Christ, and I'll distribute to who I wish. No, actually, you won't. Get out of the way and help people go to Christ, not be the gatekeeper and controlling. So it's very simple, you know.
But that's exactly why, isn't that exactly why you are, even though you're considered the old Catholic Church, is that how it is? Because you guys, or the old Catholic Church, broke away from the Roman Catholics for that very reason?
Well, actually, in 1890s, the old Catholic Church broke away from the Roman Catholic Church over papal infallibility. And there were some other issues as well. In other words, the Pope declared himself infallible on church doctrine. And so there was bishops who said, "No, wait a minute, you're a man, and we're not going to believe this theory that you are without error on church doctrine." And so there was a huge split within the church. Now, of course, within the old Catholic Church, and people immediately think old Catholic, all Latin, and you know, women having no rights, etc. And that really isn't the case at all. It's kind of a play on words. It's old Catholicism as far as the roots. But now there are old Catholic churches that are very ultra conservative. I mean, they will not allow women to even in the sanctuary space. And then you have old Catholics that are ultra-liberal, where anything and everything goes. And I think that's just dangerous. And so we don't believe that. And so we are all welcoming, but it doesn't mean anything and everything goes. We just simply say, everyone is welcome, period. There is no everyone is welcome, except. There's no tagline there. Everyone is welcome, period.
Right. Yeah, I saw that you have female priests and such, and I read through that. And I thought, wow, yeah, but it's just kind of funny. It's old Catholic Church, but it's so progressive. That's how it struck me.
Sure, yeah, and we actually wonder. We had a group. The bishops had a council meeting, and then we discussed it, and then of course we brought it to the clergy, and also of course to members, and we decided, do we think we should do United States Independent Catholic Church or. But that's not who we are. Our roots are in the old Catholicism, and that, in fact, is who we are. Now, our job is to evangelize and teach people that although the name is old Catholic, we are still very progressive. But, I don't know if the term is actually correct, even progressive. I just look at it as universal truth. Progressive, liberal, conservative, to me, this is exactly what Christ would do if he were on earth. That's the way I look at it. He would welcome everybody. And that's what we do. We keep it as simple as possible and put the ego out. We just push that out of the way.
So do you have, confessional and stuff like that?
Sure, absolutely. We believe in all sacraments. We believe that Christ is present in all sacraments. We believe in transubstantiation. Again, as I stated, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We have Eucharistic adoration. So I have Mass. We have Mass. We actually visit nursing homes. We distribute communion. This ministry is radically different in that our priests do not get paid. And there's no paycheck. There's no retirement fund. There's no housing allowance. There's no car allowance. There's nothing. This because this is a real ministry of love. This is not a ministry of retirement.
Right.
And so the priests who are really within the United States Old Catholic Church have that real calling to serve people. And so we have people who are out ministering to people who have been ostracized, or quite honestly, people who have forgotten, especially the amount of people, especially the elderly, within nursing homes. It is so terrible that they have just completely been forgotten by ministers. They're not being ministered to.
No.
Very few people. There was one time, there was a guy that I went to a nursing home recently, and he'd been in the nursing home for about 20 years, and he's confined. I mean, he can't leave. And we went to the nursing home, we started going there, and he came up and he received communion, and he started crying.
Uh-huh.
And he cried, started crying, and he stopped Mass. And we talked to him, and I tried to counsel him, and I asked, why are you crying? And he said, this is the first time I received communion in 15 years.
Wow.
And this is ministry, and this is what we do.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah,
it's very admirable, Catholic, yeah.
Yes, I work at a Catholic charities hospital, and mm-hmm. I see what you're talking about with, car allowances and housing allowances, because sometimes a big escalator will roll up in front of the hospital and a priest will be getting out and walking in. It's like, wow. Maybe.
One thing that I won't ever do is I spent 6 years of my life in the Roman Catholic Seminary, and those years were the best years of my life. It was the formation that I received in academic and spiritual was something that I will never, ever probably be able to experience again. It was the best. Truly, it was the best. And I think it was the amount of education and the amount of devotion that many priests, Roman Catholic priests, put into their ministry, and the very limited income that they make. It's not a lot. I mean, their salaries are quite minimal. If you can consider it takes 4 years of college and 4 years of master's degree work, 8 years. So people who normally have an 8 year or master's degree and beyond, I mean, 8 years, they're making close to six figures.
Right.
Well, the priests are doing good making 30 to 35.
Right.
And so we have to keep in mind that they're not living in the lap of luxury. And, but at the same time, their needs are being met, which is good, and it should be, the housing allowance and car allowance, because that's something that they shouldn't have to worry about, because I think the church should have to pay for that. But with us, we just simply can't do it, because our secular jobs, the jobs that we have outside of church, is what really funds the ministry.
Right.
Wow.
So,
Go ahead, Jenny.
I was just going to, in comparison to the Eastern Orthodox Church, do you guys have a lot of the same beliefs, basic beliefs?
Well, that's huge. You're wanting me to write your paper.
That's what he's doing.
Did you catch that?
Well, it depends on exactly. If you tell me exactly what beliefs you're referring to, I'll be more than happy to say we're right along. But, as Al Dolio of the papacy know, now we respect the Pope, and we believe that the Pope is the Bishop of Rome, respectfully.
Right.
We also believe very much, as far as the liturgy is concerned, and this is just my personal belief, I should say, I don't believe that liturgy should be entertainment hour. Mm-hmm. I don't go to liturgy to be entertained. I watch TV to be entertained, and sometimes even on TV, that's sometimes not even much entertainment there. But I don't want to go to church to be entertained. I want to go to church to calm my mind, my body, and my soul. So I want to be in prayer within community. That's why I go to church. So for us, when people go to church, it's not a spectacle. We allow the symbols to speak for themselves. We don't explain why we're using incense or why we're using the bells or why we're chanting in Latin. We don't explain it. We just allow the symbols to speak for themselves. And I think that's what makes, in my opinion, the Mass so beautiful. And people have said, quite honestly, it's very spiritual for them because we don't have to explain it away. So,
right.
Of course, we just make it as far as spiritually moving as we possibly can without the entertainment value. So,
right.
Huge question. Just to, of course, I'd like to know exactly what beliefs that you're referring to that they believe in, and I'll be more than happy to compare.
The whole Trinity, of course.
We certainly believe in the Trinitarian form, but we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Most certainly. We follow the Trinitarian formula. We believe that Mary is not a co-redemptrist. We do not worship Mary. We venerate Mary. We do not worship the saints. We venerate the saints. Venerating the saints is again, people say, well, why do you pray to Mary? Or why do you ask Mary for prayers? Why don't you go directly to God? And then I say to people, why do you ask people to keep you in their prayers?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle. You ask people to pray for you. But yet when we pray to Mary to keep us in her prayers, then that somehow it means that we're worshiping her. It's a double standard. So when you try to explain it to that way, then the light bulb goes off, and then they see it. Then they finally understand it. No, we're not actually worshiping Mary. We're venerating, respect Mary.
Okay.
You just answered.
Yeah, there's a lot of people don't understand that, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I answered my question 7, 8, and 9 on the paper, so. I have it.
Well, I'm glad I can
read on here.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I do have a question from the chat room. I want to get that in. Do you think the people doing investigations is doing the work of the devil?
Oh no, no, I don't. I don't think, because the work of the devil is, remember, it's found in the intention. The evil is found in the intention. I know people who do paranormal investigations that their intent is to truly help. They go in, they use as much scientific tools they possibly can to debunk. We all know, every single one of us knows, that if you go into a home that's allegedly has paranormal activity, 9 times out of 10, you're going to debunk it.
Right.
Understand that when I have a case that's allegedly demonic, I'm a skeptic. I am the biggest skeptic there is. I really am. And so I go in with the idea of, we're going to debunk this. And not, oh my gosh, there's definitely a demon. No, there is an illogical explanation here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset that I go in. So paranormal investigators who spend their own time, their own money, their own effort to go into someone's home, use whatever tools that they use, and they try to debunk what's going on to give homeowners peace of mind, I don't think that's the work of the devil. If I have a family and my family is scared because we're hearing bangs and the noises and we're all frightened, and a paranormal group comes in and they say, well, we found why you have bangs is because you have a wire here or you have a pole here and it keeps hitting the wall. You know what? How is that the work of the devil? Because now they've given the family complete peace of mind, and now they can actually go fix what's going on and they can rest peacefully.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing. Because I know people that talk to us and other groups I know of, they always, one of the things they always ask is, will it make them more active? They're afraid to have us in there. It's almost like we have to explain to them that we do go in there to try to for the opposite reason, to prove that there isn't something there, to,
sure.
You know, make them relax. It seems like they think we're going in there to try to drag them out.
Right.
Yeah, but because I think sometimes they see so many things on television or in the movies that they think, oh my gosh, I heard a bang, so therefore I have some terrible thing in my house. No, you heard a bang because your air conditioning unit kicked on and there's a tube that just hit the wall or something. There's always something left, and if there's not, then you look at the spiritual issues. Now, that's a great question that your listener actually had. Now, when people start playing around with things that they shouldn't play with, that's when you get a little bit careless. And so that's a good question, because I think sometimes, here's what I do think. I am really getting frustrated. And sometimes I get in trouble with this, but I don't care. I really get frustrated with paranormal investigators and psychics going into people's home and then immediately telling the homeowners that they have a demon in their house. And the demon is going to attack the children.
Okay. Right.
I am getting so many phone calls. I mean, in the middle of the night, and I'm not kidding you. Last night,
yeah, we were going to ask you about that.
I had four phone calls last night, four. And I'm not talking last night at 10 o'clock in the morning. I had a phone call at 1:50 in the morning, at 2:30 in the morning, at 3:30 in the morning. I mean, literally, I've had all these phone calls about people frightened to death because a psychic or paranormal investigators came in and told them they have a demon in the house and it's going to kill their children.
Now, yeah, there seems to be a lot of that going around, I know.
That's going to stop.
That's come from short television and movies too, because it just seems like it seems to me like things you watch, like movies or television, it's gone through, I don't know, it gets more extreme because people have such short attention spans. They're not content with watching somebody do an investigation and all coming up with everything on television. Right. Now it's just getting more and more extreme of what they do say they come up with, which they probably haven't anyway.
And that's true. And I also think, and I think we should touch on the fact that, and again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the paranormal community has taken a theological term and made it secular. And that term is called demonology. Demonologist. Demonology is not paranormal. A demonologist is not paranormal. It has nothing to do with paranormal. Nothing. Demonology is theological. And what has happened is that many people in the paranormal community has taken a theological term. They've snatched it. And they've said, well, I'm not going to be a demonologist. Now, wait a minute. That's a theological term. That's a ministry. That is a calling. And it is not secular. Secular meaning a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, etc. That's secular. That's outside of church ministry. A demonologist is theological, not paranormal. And so my concern is people have taken a theological term and they've put it on their shoulder, you know, and said, well, now that's who I am because I've read a book. Well, no, you're not. Because a demonologist, again, it is a ministry. It is a calling. And if you're not called to this ministry and if you've not been properly trained in this ministry, leave it alone.
Right.
There are very serious
times.
Sorry?
A lot of times that people forget that, you know, just because something, you may have something in your house and it may not like you being there, it does not make it a demon. It's just like a living person. You know, there might be you may have a cranky neighbor. It doesn't mean they're a demon. You know, so it's automatically, if it's a presence that may not be the most happy person, then maybe they had, you know, maybe they weren't happy in life. You know, it's so automatically, as soon as they find something that is not the nicest to them, or they think is not nice to them, it might be the simple fact that they just don't like you, you know, or you've done something to irritate them. So automatically they have to assume they have to come and get somebody to get out of their house. Yeah, it's the fear factor. And I do believe that's brought on from television and especially movies. Because you don't, I mean, you wouldn't go to a horror movie to see something that wasn't evil, you know. You couldn't build something up that great to be, you couldn't have like the Bride of Chucky movie. That was probably the dumbest movie in the world. But everybody went to see it because they automatically assume it was going to be this evil thing. And
demons.
You know,
an evil demon.
Yeah. It's just the whole...
They're taking demons way too lightly, I think,
right.
Is basically what he's trying to say.
Yeah, they're trying to make it a mainstream issue when it's really not a mainstream issue.
Not only that, but even more appalling is you can go on eBay now and buy your own demon. No joke. Actually has a little box, a little Chester box or something, and it has a little chain all around it and all this other nonsense. And you can buy your own demon, and you can control your own demon, and it actually has all the hieroglyphics and all this other nonsense that actually reads nothing. and it has a seal. It's for yours for $20. So not only
here's
that,
a bargain.
Give a pocket demon.
it's a fabulous thing. And then of course now they have a Ouija board that's specifically designed for young girls. It's a pink Ouija board.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, when I was I was small. I was young in the 60s. I was a kid. We all got Ouija boards for Christmas.
Yeah.
Parker and Parker, yeah. Ouija boards. A bunch of us girls one year for Christmas. We all got Ouija boards.
Yeah.
Here's the dangers with Ouija boards. The entire purpose of a Ouija board is the intent is to make contact with an entity in which you don't know the essence. Now, here's when I have a problem. And I always scratch my head, and I think, now, wait a minute. We always tell children, don't talk to strangers. You talk to strangers, it's dangerous. Why? Because we don't know the intent of the stranger. The stranger could do evil to the child. It's good advice. But yet we don't take our own advice because constantly paranormal investigators are talking to strangers and we don't even know their intentions or their identity. And yet we're dealing with the spiritual realm, not the physical. And so we're speaking to these essences, these spirits, whatever it might be, and we don't even know who we're speaking to. It's a form of invitation. And there is no filter. I don't care what anybody says. I refuse to believe that people can filter out the good from the evil. I have said this a million times, and no one has taken me up on this offer. I know a brilliant, brilliant patent attorney. Brilliant. We will patent that sucker. We will patent this filter, this magic filter that people claim that they have, and we will be millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is there is no filter. And when people start talking about this imaginary filter in the air, it simply doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, it's hard to fathom that someone can say they have a filter when in normal life, dealing with living beings, you can't filter out the evil.
There you go. And that's a really good point.
You know, there's people in the walking this earth that are just pure evil. You know, and you can't tell them from everybody else. So, I mean, how could you? And you can see them. That's the thing. You can physically see them. And sometimes you can physically see an entity. Sometimes, if they want to be seen, but most of the time, you have no idea who you're talking to. And
so,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry. That's what I asked for. I forgot. So is the Ouija board then, is that on the same level as using a pendulum or a dowsing? Could they be as dangerous as the Ouija board, I guess?
Yes. And people don't like when I say that, but the answer is yes. Again, the sole purpose for using those tools are to make direct communication with an entity that you don't know the essence to. And because you don't know the entity, you don't know the essence, you have no idea who you're speaking to. And yet you continue to have that communication with whatever it is that you're speaking to. That's an open form of communication. And so therefore you have this dialogue with whatever it is, and yet you don't know. And we tell our children not to speak to strangers, and we're doing it. And so having direct communication with any type of being that we don't know its essence is incredibly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are things that people say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, okay, go for it. Knock yourself out if that's what you're going to do. I think it's a bad idea. But I always tell people, ask the questions first. Is Yahweh your God? Do you believe in the Trinity? Now, demonic entity will never confess that Yahweh is its God.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Okay.
It will never ever say that the Trinity. It will confess to believing in the Trinity. So, again, this is a gamble. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I just don't think that opening yourself up to a direct line of communication with the entity without knowing its essence is wise.
Okay.
I always tell people this. This is, if you don't mind me saying this, never act with a doubtful conscience. You may allow an evil to occur. And here's what that means. If you're having a communication, an open dialogue with an entity, and you don't know its essence, you are you're acting with a doubtful conscience. So therefore, you may allow an evil to occur, which is, it could be a demonic, and that demonic could in fact attack you. So never act with a doubtful conscience. You can allow an evil to occur.
But anytime you're acting, though, you're acting with a doubtful conscience, right?
No. I mean, if I, as far as, if for example, let me make, here's an analogy. You're walking down the street, and you see an old abandoned building, and you pick up this rock, and you think, you know what? I'm bored. I just want to throw this rock in that old abandoned building. There's nobody there. I don't think there is. No, I don't think there is. And you throw that rock in the building, and the glass shatters all over the place, and you hear someone scream in pain and agony. Number one, you've acted with a doubtful conscience. You allowed an evil to occur, which is now the glass shattering all over a homeless person.
Okay.
So when you act with a doubtful conscience, you can allow an evil to occur. So when you begin to have an open line communication or dialogue with an entity that you don't know its essence, you can allow an evil to occur, which means it could be a demonic entity.
Okay. All right. So, I think we're going to take a break right now. And, Mike, Michael, I've got, okay. You want to hold it till after the break?
I can hold it.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and take a short break here, and we'll be right back.
Paratree Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Have you seen any of the evidence that's been collected from investigations at Bobby Mackey's? Ever wondered if you could have your own experience there? Come out and join NKYPS and Craps as we begin hosting the Saturday night ghost tours at Bobby Mackey's. Ghost tours start at 8 p.m. and run until 1 a.m. One tour will be given per hour, and the tours last approximately 30 minutes. Tickets are only $5, so what have you got to lose? We've all had personal experiences there. Come out and see if you can have some of your own. If you would like to view some of the evidence that we have gathered from there, go to our website at www.nkyps.com. Case number 2 from 2008. Hope to see you there.
Hi, my name is Chris Magner of Tri-State Paranormal in Northern Kentucky. And have you ever felt like there's something going on in your home, place of business, or you've heard somebody talk about unexplained activity and too afraid to come forward and talk about it? We at Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky understand. And we will help you figure out if it's paranormal or natural activity going on in your home. And if we do find something paranormal, we will help you learn how to deal with it and how to live with the activity if it's paranormal. We do not charge for our services. We're only here to help you understand the paranormal side of our world. And your privacy is our priority. You can contact us at www.tspnorthernkentucky.com.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions
from all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter
for everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/The White Crow for everyone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list, or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We do have a question from the chat room for Bishop Long. The chatter wants to know, is an EVP session considered a doubtful conscience?
It's a great question. Here's what I would be concerned about. EVP sessions are not necessarily what I'm concerned with, necessarily, because you take it home and, of course, then you listen to it later. But what I am concerned about is having immediate EVP communication. So there are recordings, recording devices in which you can actually hear live, real-time EVPs. And in that case, yeah, I would be careful about that, because then it goes back to having a direct dialogue. It goes back to, it just kind of, it's, I think it's just, if you really think about it, it really is just common sense. It's not so much a theological dissertation or but it just, God, it just makes sense. It's like you're speaking to something and you don't know who you're speaking to, so don't speak to it. I mean, it, to me, it's just kind of like one of those, it just makes sense.
So, like, you're speaking like the ghost boxes now that they have out?
The same thing. Ghost boxes, again, you just have to be very careful. And what I do is if people are going to use those things, I would always do the preliminary questions first. Is Yahweh your God? Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you profess that Yahweh is your God? And, of course, if you're not going to get a response, then I would say, well, I'm not going to continue this conversation.
Right. Okay. So have you ever in your, you know, time with the demonic presences, have you ever had an issue with something that just wouldn't go?
It wouldn't go?
It wouldn't go away. It was just, it's there. I mean, have you ever...
You mean like if they were possessed or, possessed, I guess it's a word or whatever?
Sure, yeah, well, yeah, there was, I mean, there were 24 exorcisms that I performed. I mean, some of them have been very, very aggressive. And I think it needs to be said that the exorcisms that you see sometimes on TV and in the movies are not quite the exorcisms in real life. And so I would never, ever, for a million, gazillion, trillion dollars, I would never film an exorcism on camera. The solemn ritual of exorcism, that means an exorcism performed on a human being, would never do it.
It would be like a respect thing?
Well, the things that I have seen in true exorcism, I mean true possession here, I would never want my family member, their picture or their image posted on, of course, on the television, doing things that perhaps sometimes the demonic will force the person to do. It's very embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so
I've seen a couple on YouTube, and I don't know if they're real, but they have seen the stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, there are some things that there are some things that has happened. I mean, again, when we're talking about trying to gouge the eyes out and bite the lip off and bite the tongue off and sometimes consuming waste or pulling the hair out, I don't think those type of images are beneficial at all on the television.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so, unfortunately, in today's technology, people will pretty much put anything up for entertainment value. Yeah, even if it's not entertainment, they consider it to be entertainment, and people are drawn to that. And I think that's basically our society psyche. You know, the gorier the situation, the more people are going to look at it. You know, it's just, and they don't understand. I don't think people take into consideration that those are real people going through a real situation that don't need to be subjected to everyone's eyes watching them. You know, but sometimes you got to put yourself in their position. Ungodly as it may be, you need to put them in their position, you know, and look at that from that perspective. Would you want your images portrayed in that manner all over the Internet? And that's worldwide, you know. So sometimes a little consideration needs to be taken in a situation, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would never do it. I've turned down television shows, and all you have to do is perform an exorcism, and all you have to do is hang the phone up because this conversation is ended.
Right.
Okay, well, real quick, before we have to leave here, you want to go ahead and tell us about your experience with Ghost Adventures?
Oh, sure. Yeah, let me just say, first of all, Zach, Nick, and Aaron are great guys. I'll say that in the very beginning, they're wonderful, wonderful guys. Everyone knows that I disagree with provoking, and I was on a couple episodes with Ghost Adventures, and I did tell Zach, hey, look, you got to stop provoking. It's good because recently he's told people, hey, look, yeah, I'm dealing with activity, or I was dealing with activity in my home. So it's good that he came public with that, and I've worked with him, and we've kind of moved through that process. So there is consequences for this, for of course provoking. I will say this without a shadow of doubt. I worked again on two episodes with him, and I will tell you that what you see is what you get. They absolutely positively do not in any way fake your evidence. It is very clear. It's filmed, and they put it out there, and people can criticize it, they can accept it, but I can tell you, no doubt in my mind, that there's no fakery at all in their episodes. So, and they're good guys with who have actually a very big heart, and people don't know, well, they're yeah. Quite a bit behind the scenes for nonprofit organizations.
I saw them on Good Morning America, the NBC show. It's been a while back. They had them on probably around Halloween or something. I don't know. But, it was Kathy Lee Gifford and that other woman. And they were like, oh, we got ghosts. Kind of rolling their eyes a little bit and stuff. And the guys did a little segment. And I was so impressed because they are so motivated. And they said, they all said, this has changed our lives. People don't realize that when they go out and do that and have found what they found and seen what they've seen, that it changes your life, and it does. And I was so glad that they said that because a lot of people don't understand that. It teaches you to live your life in a different way when you realize what is really out there that most people ignore.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a really great impression for them to make on, the whole of America.
Honestly, they really are very good guys. So, I just have to say that.
Well,
I like your show.
A lot of times the people watching television shows don't realize that sometimes you don't get anything when you're out on an investigation. Sometimes
that's right.
Things just don't happen, and they're not, as always, filled with adventure. A lot of times you're mucking around in mud and dirt and dust and
spiders.
Crawling around on your hands and knees, spiders, yeah, and sitting in dark, cold places. And you still don't get anything. So, the entertainment value, of course, when it's on television, that's what you're watching it for, is for the entertainment value. And sometimes
I don't think
happen.
People realize how much time they're putting in there. They just see the TV show. They've been there a lot longer than 42 minutes.
Exactly.
A lot of time goes into the episodes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is 3 minutes till, Joni, so what next?
I did have one question. You say you've done around 65 exorcisms, is that what you said?
No, only 24 in 10 years.
Okay, I don't know where that came from. So, okay, what was your longest one?
The longest one actually was probably an incubus case. Where it was a 68-year-old woman who was actually attacked sexually, and she was so attacked so much it put her on life support, and it literally ripped her apart. It was a very, very violent case. We actually have a video, and you actually see the bed sheets rise dramatically, really rise and then fall down, and rise way up and fall down again, and then she begins to scream that it's attacking her.
Oh, that is awful.
She's
sick on people that they think are really, or they feel that, are that these people must be susceptible to these demons, or
See, we think with an ethical mind, and demonic entities don't. They're cowards.
Yeah, because they've never been human. Is that correct? I heard a lot of people
absolutely correct.
It's like they're like elementals.
Well, elementals are different. Are different beings altogether. Angels and humans. Angels are not. Angels are spirits. They do not have souls. Human beings, actually, we have spirits and souls, and so it's a bit different. And so, our very essence is completely different. They've never been humans, and so that's what I think is the great fall of angels, because of jealousy and greed and hatred towards humanity, because we're created in the image of God and not them.
So demons are fallen angels then.
Most certainly.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, I just kind of off-cut question. I just kind of popped in my head. How do you feel about reincarnation?
Here's the problem with reincarnation. It's like if you fail a test and the teacher says, okay, you missed these questions, but I'm not going to tell you what questions you missed, so redo the test over, and if you do it well, you'll pass. Well, tell me what questions I got wrong so that I can know what I should do better next time. That's the problem with having reincarnation. You don't know what you did wrong in the previous life. So that the way it's set up, it's like, it doesn't seem like it's set up correctly then. That's the problem. That I always use analogies when I try to explain things, and it just doesn't seem like it's set up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to me?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. But the way I always thought of it was because you have a brain, and I know this may not make much sense to you, but it does to me. Because you have a brain, you ought to be able to figure out by what you go through in life what you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I justify reincarnation, basically.
Now, I believe that heaven is not forced upon anyone. I believe we have free will even after we die. I believe there's a possibility. I'm open to learning more about reincarnation, but I guess that's more the stumbling block that I have is, well, gosh, you know, if I made some mistakes in my previous life, tell me what mistakes that I made so that I won't make the same mistakes in this life. So that's my only issue that I have, I guess, with this, with reincarnation.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, free will, definitely.
Sure.
We all have free
will. And that's why I think humans remain on Earth, because of attachments. They remain attached to whatever objects or even relationships that they have on Earth. Remember, heaven is not forced upon anyone. It's presented. I have to say really quick, if you don't mind,
okay.
One thing that
yeah.
I have to say, because I think your audience members need to hear this. We firmly do not believe in the United States Old Catholic Church that people who commit suicide go to hell. We reject that notion. Reject that theology completely. It's a stupid theology. We firmly reject it because the person who commits suicide is not in the right state of mind. They're not thinking rationally. And an all-loving God that loves us more than we could possibly fathom would never turn one of his children away who committed an act upon themselves which they were not thinking rationally. That, to me, theologically, logically, doesn't make sense whatsoever.
I totally agree, and plus the fact that you're not killing your soul, you're killing a body.
That's exactly right.
You know,
and again, this is not a logical decision. It's an irrational one. It's an emotional one.
It's a desperation.
That's right. It's an act of desperation, and they're not thinking with the rational thought. They're not in the rational state of mind. And
mm-hmm.
so I don't think that a God that has more love for us than we can possibly even fathom would turn one of his children away because they weren't thinking rationally and they did something irrational to their body. To me, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was a psych nurse and, of course, dealt with many of them. And most of them would tell you, because, you know, we weren't going to let them die in a facility. You have to. And they would always mostly say, I didn't want to die. I just wanted the pain to stop. And that was the only option they had. They felt that was the only option they had. And that is so sad. You know,
sure.
And it seems once they were set on it, I mean, they may have been all right that time, but I'm sure there was a really high percentage of the ones that actually finished it off because they just were in that place where they couldn't get out of.
Yeah, I just, you know what, I live my life simply, love and compassion. That's it. It really is very simple.
Exactly. Exactly so. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. It's been a wonderful show, and we've learned a lot, and...
Yeah,
you have,
exactly.
Let's say in May, you'll be in Ohio, which will be wonderful, and we will make sure I'll put that in the podcast. You say it was Paranormal Charity Awareness Event, and it's May 15th. I think Crystal said from 10 to 6 or something. She knew about it.
Got
so
it.
We'll make sure that gets in the podcast and on Facebook so people will know.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And do you
All
have
right.
a website that you want to put out real quick?
Well, they can go to, if they need help, paranormalclergy.com. If they need assistance, they can go to our website. They can add me on Facebook, of course. I think it's Bishop Long. And again, we're here as a reference to help people. We're not here to take over cases. So what we do is 100% free. It's a ministry that we offer folks. So if you need us, just give us a call. We're more than happy to help. That's why we're here.
Appreciate
Thank
it
you.
Very much.
And
I got you. Take care. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a great interview. I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate
you.
We'll talk again, okay?
Sounds good. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, that makes my head spin.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, you and your paper. I'm a happy boy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I guess that's going to wrap up the first edition of EVP Spirit Talk. I was so afraid I was going to say Midwest Paranormal. That is, or Midwest Paradox, because it just stuck in my head all night. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our first edition. Oh, let's see, next week, April the 1st. Oh, we have Chris Maggard. Is that how you pronounce that, Mike?
Yeah, Maggard.
And he's a Kentucky group, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to come on and tell us about something that he was somewhere, I think New York over the weekend, last weekend or something, and they did some kind of experimentation with EVPs, and it's something about, it's on a grid or something. Did you hear him talk about that? It's on a grid, and it picks up where the EVP is located in that grid, in that room or whatever. Sounds real interesting.
Awesome.
So he's going to be talking about that, you know, and his group and stuff. So should be a good one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So?
Yeah?
That does it.
So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week on EVP Spirit Talk Radio.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Thank you for listening to EVP Spirit Talk. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com. And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.